Morning, church. Morning. Right, a woman woke during the night to find that her husband was not in bed. She put on a robe and went downstairs. He was sitting at the kitchen table with a cup of coffee in front of him. He appeared to be in deep thought, just staring at the wall. She saw him wipe a tear from his eye and take a sip of his coffee. "What's the matter, dear? Why are you down here at this time of night?" she asked. "Do you remember 20 years ago when we were dating and you were only 16? He asked. "Yes, I did. Yes, I do," she replied. "Do you remember when your father caught us in the backseat of my car kissing?" "Yes, I remember." "Do you remember when he shoved the shotgun in my face and said, 'Either you marry my daughter or spend 20 years in jail?'" "Yes, I do," she said. He wiped another tear from his cheek and said, "You know, I would have gotten out today." I'm sure there's no one here thinking that, those thoughts at all. But what I wanted to share, what's on my heart today is we all do have some regrets. Not regrets as those, I'm sure, but we all do have some sort of regrets. And we go back and we sit in those regrets and we think about them. Some people don't want to have regrets. So someone said, "I don't want to look back and think I could have eaten that." So there was a time when my son, Sam, I think it was about 14 or 15, we went to a steak place and they had this 700-gram steak. So being a young fellow, he wanted to eat it and he took it as a challenge and he ate it. Man, but the thing was he regretted the rest of the night. He was having a tough time with it. There are times when we take things as challenges, but we regret for a long time. And also, regret, what is a regret? Regret is sorrow or remorse over something that has happened or that we have done. Regret can also be a sense of disappointment over what has not happened, such as regretting wasting of time or wasting years or could have done this, I should have done that. Or the other one is to be human is to have regrets, because making mistakes is a universal experience. We all wish we couldn't have, we should have, or couldn't have. And so we have all these questions in our hearts and we regret. There are sometimes when Sunitha will catch me just with a big sigh or shaking my head, and I catch myself sometimes sighing myself and then or shaking my head. And those are the moments I'm thinking, I could have done this, or I should have done this, or maybe I shouldn't have gone there. Last night was an amazing night for those of you who were there. I'm sure you enjoyed the night. The revival night was fantastic. But also, I'm a hard taskmaster on myself, so I always believe or expect the overflow of crowd and overflow of and the packed place and all those sort of things. When that doesn't happen, there are times when I tend to just be like, okay, God, have I missed somewhere? What could I have been? Would I have been? And all those sort of things I keep thinking. And through the service, that's how I was a little bit wondering about all these things, what I could have done, what I should have done, what are you saying to me, God? And I was questioning a little bit of all these things. And then the worship service was awesome. Everything went really, really well, and people were into worship. And then the preacher was amazing. And then he gave an altar call. And as the altar call, he asked for people to respond, and there were hands that have gone all over the place, and then there he called to see if people would come forward. Till then, I was still having all these questions in my mind, and all this could have, should have, would have gone through my mind, and God, what are you saying to me? And all those sort of things. And the second person that walked to the front of the stage was someone who was very dear to me. Someone who's very dear to me. When that person walked to the front of the stage, boom, it all went away. And he said, man, that's worth it. And I said, that is worth it for me to and all of us to work so hard and put it all together there and to see someone. Because there were about 30 or 40 people who responded. A lot of them were young people. But there was this one person who was very close to me, when they walked up, boom, it all made sense to me, just like that. And I thought to myself, how do you put value to a soul of a person? And I thought, oh my goodness. And then from that moment onwards, I started rejoicing in God and saying, God, this is all worth it for going through all this pressure and finances and all these sort of things and working together with people. You get to hear and you say, man, this is such a good thing. But also, as I said, there are a lot of regrets. Each one of us would have some sort of a regret in your life. But also, I was thinking as I was preparing, and my grandfather was a very rich man. My dad's dad was a very rich man. He was a doctor. He made a lot of money, ton of money. But the only problem with him was he did not invest a lot into properties, but he had a lot of good things that were going in, but he did not invest a lot of money into properties. And there were times when he could have bought prime properties in a city called Hyderabad. And he could have bought those things. If he had bought those things, I wouldn't be here. I would be the king of the city there. That's how prime properties that were, and he could have bought them. And there were times I thought, oh my gosh, God, if only he bought those, and he bought these lands that he could have just, he had cash with him. He could have just bought them, and he could have bought them. If he bought them, man, what would life been? Well, one thing I'm sure, Chelsea would not have been my daughter-in-law. And we would not be here. But the thing is, there are times we regret and we look back and say, we could have done this, we should have done this. Oh my goodness, if only that would have happened, my life would have been different. But the thing that I want to encourage you and God wants to encourage us today is, hey, it's all okay that you're here. God's in your life and God is in control of our lives. We have taken detours. We could have done this and we could have done that, but we are here and God is a good God. And that we're here. Regrets are sort of twofold. I wish I did or didn't. That is something that you could completely wish about. But also there's another one. I wish that they did do that or they did it. Or I could think, oh, my parents, as I just said, I could think, oh, if only my grandfather did that. Or only if my grandfather didn't do that. Or my parents would have done this. If my parents wouldn't have done that, my uncle or my aunt or my brothers and my sisters didn't do that, my neighborhood, my government wouldn't do it, my somebody didn't do it, I wouldn't be in this position. Maybe that's another regret that you have. There are things that you could have done, but there are things that went out of your control, but somebody else have done. But because of that, we are in a place of bother, and we are sometimes in a place of thinking, oh, I wish I could. I didn't do it. I wish I could do something else with it. Our regrets arise from either of these. Sometimes they're foolish choices that we made. Or maybe you're here because you've made some brilliant choices. But also another thing is the reason that we could be here is because we made some sinful choices. Or maybe because we have stayed away from some sinful choices that we could have made. And that's the reason why we are here. In 1997, a small magazine found themselves in a bind. They were about to send their next edition to their publisher when they realized they still had space in the magazine that needed to be filled. A friend of the editor decided to take out a few ads to fill the extra space. One of the ads he took out read like this: wanted somebody to go back in time with me. This is not a joke. And he gave the address. You'll get paid after we get back. Must bring your own weapons. Safety not guaranteed. I've only done this once before. And this was an ad which was put in a magazine. There were a lot of responses that have come. Actually, people responded to it. But a lot of them got the joke and they went with the joke and they did that. But they were actually people who responded to it in a positive way. And they really wanted to go back. And the amazing thing was they did not want to go back to witness an amazing event that has happened in the centuries behind them. They did not want to go and say, oh, wow, I wanted to be in that crowd when this thing happened. They did not want to go and see something that was very historical. But you know what that they wanted to go back to was to go back and fix something they thought that they mucked up in their lives. And people were serious about it. Maybe the same thing for you and me too. This morning, if we have that opportunity, maybe we are saying, I wish I had that opportunity to go back. If I only had that opportunity to go back, I will actually go back and fix that thing. I'm sure all of us would be thinking that way. But the fact is that you and I cannot go back to fix those mistakes that we have made. Those mistakes that have been made as a Christian, those mistakes are taken on the cross by Jesus Christ. Regret can lead some to self-destruction. And one of the ladies actually wanted to go back in time to sort it out. And this was what it was. Most have made mistakes. But then this lady wanted to go back because she actually hired a hitman to kill her husband. So she really wanted to go back and fix that mistake. Maybe some people have those sort of things. Regrets can lead some to self-destruction, but God wants to use it to lead us towards repentance. When we look back and we say, oh my gosh, I made that mistake, or I should have done this, I shouldn't have done this, what God wants us to do is there is nothing we can do by going back, but what we can do is right now, right here, we can actually say, God, I made a mistake. I come to your presence and you heal this in my life. Repentance, God always leads us to repentance. The repent means, repent is acknowledging our mistake and asking God to forgive and choosing to turn in the opposite direction. It is not just saying, oh, I wish I didn't do that. And maybe some of us wish that we didn't take that first puff of smoke many, many years back. Or maybe we regret taking that one sip or taking those drugs, or clicking on that porn, or going through a magazine, and you're thinking, oh my gosh, if only I did not do that. Or maybe I shouldn't have hung out with those people. And we have all these things, and we want to move away from that. But the fact of the matter is, you're here. I am here. And there is nothing you and I can do about what has happened. But there is something that you and I can do about the now. About the now. I can think of so many things that I've done, so many mistakes that I've made, and I'm not talking out of having a perfect life. I'm talking about major mistakes that I've done in my life, huge, huge mistakes, some of them. And also the biggest problem is foolish mistakes, like, oh, I should have gone to that university instead of going there. I went there, I could have done that degree, but instead of that, I'm doing this. That's all right. But maybe is there a sin? Mistakes that we've made. And because of that, there are scars, as Raj has said this morning. Maybe some of us are carrying scars because of the mistakes that we've made, or because of the mistakes somebody else have made in our lives. Though we're carrying scars, we're carrying wounds, we're carrying hurts right now. But I believe that God wants to heal us this morning, because we heard yesterday and we know from the Bible that God has given us power to redeem us, power to free us from every bondage, from every chain, everything that binds us from what all God has got for us. But tonight, this morning, I'm still tonight, from yesterday, this morning, I want us to start to believe that God is going to heal you. God is going to heal me. I'm coming, I'm sharing this word because I felt God put it on my heart. Beginning of this week or last week, because I read a post. See, God speaks through Facebook. I read a post of a young fellow who put about his wife. He said, hey, this girl in 2005 was very sad because she missed out on being chosen for the School of Medicine, so she couldn't make it to the class of the medical sciences. So she took this other class in where this young fellow was. And that's where they met. If she would have taken the medical sciences, their paths would have never met. So he was thankful and they're saying, hey, just because you did not make it to the medicals, to the medical sciences, here you are. And we met. And he's saying, hey, because of that, they've got two beautiful children. I can say the same thing too. My wife always wanted to be a doctor. because she had a lot of peer pressure. Her brother was an older brother was a doctor, younger brother was a doctor. And I said to her, if you were a doctor, maybe you would have always wanted to marry a doctor. But I said, here you are, because you didn't make to be a doctor. You got a pastor. And otherwise, we wouldn't have crossed our paths. But here we are. Amazing life. The best thing that has happened to Sunitha is me. No, just not the best thing. One of the best things. Besides knowing Jesus. So we've got these things. But the thing is, coming back is, there are times when we made these mistakes. Hey, the story, the Bible is full of these people who have made mistakes. But also the Bible is full of stories of people who have made mistakes, but also have come out of those mistakes stronger just because of God in their lives. It wasn't because they had this great education on something, on how to get out. It wasn't about having 10 steps to get out of your mental strain. It wasn't out of any of those things, but it was about God, them encountering God. When they encountered God, there was a miracle that has happened. Jacob, man, he was, and none of us want to be Jacob. That's how he was. He was a deceiver. His name says he's a deceiver. He was a deceiver, and he deceived everyone. But God never took his hand off of him. He just went after him, changed his life. David made all the mistakes. Everybody in the Bible made mistakes. There was no perfect except Jesus Christ in the whole book. And everybody came through because God has come through into their lives. The only way you and I are going to get out of this place of having these regrets is to actually go forward and go have an encounter with God right now and move forward in God. So as I was trying to say is, when in these moments when you regret, when you're looking back and say, I could have done this, I should have done that, at that point of time, I want you to realize right now and think, hey, God, I made those mistakes. People have made these mistakes. And because of that, I am here. But you know that I'm here, and I want you to do something in my life right now. And when you believe, and when you ask, and when you believe in it, God's going to do something in your life. But also there are steps that God will take you through so that you and I can get stronger. So he will get us to a place of realizing that there was a mistake. And he gets to us a place where we say, God, we made a mistake, but I want to turn this around and face towards you. There are a lot of us people who are walking this way. I hope you got it, because we're looking back and we're walking forward. We're going that way. We're supposed to be going this way, but we're walking this way. Looking back and looking in regret and living in regret, and we're walking in life this way. And then you wonder why you're bumping and you're falling and you're tripping, because your focus is still on the back. You're still looking at the things that have happened in your past, and you're still trying to make your way forward. And because of that, you're tripping and you're falling and you're blaming it on the things that are in your way. But actually, as a matter of fact, because you're not looking. You're not looking forward. You're not looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of your faith. You're not looking to him, but you're looking at your past and you're walking forward and you're thinking, why the heck am I tripping? Why are people in my way? But the fact is, people are not in your way. You are going in the way of the people, and you're tripping and falling. It's to me. I do that too. But the thing is, God wants to bring us to a place of repentance by saying, God, I'm going to turn away. Right now, for some of us or for all of us, we need to say, I'm going to turn away from looking back and I'm going to look forward. Or we should be saying, God, I'm not going to be looking behind me, but I'm going to be looking up to you. I'm going to, or in other words, we're saying, I'm not, that's repentance right now for us. Is to say, God, I'm going to stop looking back, and I'm going to start looking up and start looking forward. I'm going to look forward through your eyes, not through my own eyes. I'm not going to look forward with the past that I have, but I'm going to look forward through what you have got for me. I'm going to look forward through this, through the word of God, because this is what says, what I've got ahead of me. But My experience says this is what has happened. My experience says I was a failure. My experience says I am broken. My experience says my family failed me. My experience says my friends failed me. My experience says my system failed me. My experience says that I've fallen through the cracks. My experience says I'm not educated. My experience says a lot of things. But if we just go with our experience, man, we're not going anywhere. We're going this way. But the times now, for me, for you, and for us as a church, is to stop looking back and start looking forward. Stop looking back. And that's a repentance that you have to make tonight, this morning. We need to. You know that last night was a good night when I'm not over that yet. So you need to get your eyes off and start looking forward. We all do have a rearview mirror while you're driving, and we are told to look at them for good driving. You need to look at them, but you just don't look at them. You can't stare at the rearview mirrors and go forward, can you? But there are times you look at the rearview to know what you left behind, or also just to see what's coming behind you so that you can actually keep away from it. So that's the reason why you got a rearview mirror. It's not for you to move forward. It is just to see where you're coming from. So there are steps that we can. First thing is we need to repent and we say, God, I'm really sorry, for I have spent a lot of time looking back. I spent a lot of time looking back. I spent a lot of time just trying to fix what is broken. You know what? You can't fix what's broken. You and I cannot fix what's broken. We can only make choices moving forward. The reason is that God is the only one who can fix things that are broken. God is the only one who can lead you forward. And so there are a few things I want us to go through. Steps to overcome regret. Hush, Satan. Tell Satan to shut up. Because Satan keeps telling you, because you know what Satan's name is? His name is an accuser. He accuses you by reminding you that what you are, where you came from, why you're not good enough, and why you can't believe what God says. He keeps telling you. He is an accuser. He keeps accusing you of the things that have happened in your past. But God says, no, 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 you're not going to be. He says in Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, and they have conquered him, the accuser of the brethren, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they loved not their lives even unto death. So what they're saying is, I'm going to look forward through Jesus. I've conquered everything that Satan, the accuser, puts at me, and I'm going to move forward. That's the thing that you and I need to pick up this morning and say, I'm not going to listen to the voice of the accuser. But the problem is he will not go away so easily because he has no shame. Satan has absolutely no shame. You can tell him off in the choicest of words, but he won't go. He will be there. He will keep talking. The only way you're going to get rid of him is by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. The testimonies in the Bible, and say, hey, devil, shut up. Shut up. You cannot accuse me of this. I know I've made it, but now Jesus has taken all my sin on him and has given me his righteousness. God doesn't look at me as a sinner, but he looks at me as the righteousness of God. He looks at me as I have right standing with you, and that is what it is. That is what matters. It doesn't matter what you think. What matters is what God thinks. What God thinks is that you're perfect. Yeah? Doubts? Yeah, I know you got doubts. Now you're perfect, you're righteous. You got the goodness of God, you got the right standing. Because when God looks at you, God doesn't look at you with your sin. God looks at you with the blood of Jesus on you. And when he sees the blood of Jesus on you, he sees you as his. Simple as that. When the angel, see, God actually gave us because we are thick-headed. Maybe just me. You're all very, It's Joyce. Somebody's shaking their head when I said, I'm thicket. Yes, I am thicket. That's the reason God gives us pictures. And in the Passover, that's what God said. God gave the picture of saying, when you put the blood of the lamb on your doorpost, the angel of death is going to pass by. He's not going to see who is in there. He's not seeing anything in there. The only thing is he's going to see the blood on the doorpost, and the angel of death is going to pass. He's not coming and saying, hey, who's? Hey, they're not your family. Nothing at all. Blood on the doorpost, gone. The same thing. Blood on us. The blood of Jesus, the blood of the Lamb on us. You're perfect. You're righteous. You're justified. You're beloved. You're mine. That's what it is. When we get this into our heads, in our hearts, even when you make a mistake, you're running back to God and saying, okay, God, I got the blood on me. I got the blood on me. It is not just once. And that's the reason we keep going back to God. We keep going back to God. We keep going back to God. Or in other words, we keep staying with God. We keep staying with God. Sometimes we just push our boundaries, make some mistakes. And then you come back to God and say, God, I'm really sorry. And he says in the Bible, Paul says, hey, just because grace abounds, do you sin? No, you don't. He says, you don't. There are people who say cheap grace. There is no cheap grace. Grace is very expensive. There is no cheap grace. Grace is very expensive. Grace is very so expensive that it costs the life of the Son of God on the cross. That's how expensive grace is. There is no cheap grace. But when you have the real revelation of the grace of God, we will not abuse grace. We will not abuse the system. The only people that abuse the system is because you haven't known the cost that the cost it has been paid for you to get through it. Only then we abuse the system. We abuse the giver only when we don't realize what it's costing them. But when you realize what it is costing them, you stop abusing. The problem that we as Christians have is we do not have an understanding of what costed God for us to have this grace so that you and I can walk in boldness. So tell the devil to shut up right now. I think some of us need to tell the devil right now, because the devil's telling you things. You're like, oh, he's telling stories. Oh, he doesn't know my life. I'm sure there's pictures going on. I'm like, ah, this guy doesn't know, doesn't have a clue what he's talking about because his life has been perfect. No, it's not perfect. But at the same time, I don't care, because it is perfect right now because I've got Jesus in my life. And it is going to be perfect. Even when I stumble and fall, I'm going to stumble and fall, and I'm going to get up and keep walking. That is only because of him. It is not because of who I am. So tell the devil to shut up right now and say, hey, remember that the blood of Jesus is on my life. The second thing, remind yourself, there is now no condemnation. Tell the devil. First thing is, tell the devil to shut up. The second thing that you need to do is tell yourself to shut up. There are times when when I was teaching in the Bible school, I used to say there are times when the devil was actually looking very confused at Christians, because the Christians were blaming everything on the devil. And the devil sitting there and saying, I've got nothing to do with this. He's saying, I didn't do anything. It's you. You did to yourself, and you're blaming it on me. A lot of times we do things on our own because we listen to our own voices. We listen to the voices of our experience. We listen to the voices of our past. But whereas we need to be listening to what God says, and the Bible says, Romans chapter 8, verse 1, it says that there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Get this into our heads and into our hearts. When you're struggling with something, you say, you keep repeating it, and say, now there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. And tell yourself, I am in Christ Jesus, and therefore there is no condemnation. I know I've got symptoms of this. I know I feel like going back. I know I feel like I take one step forward and 10 steps back, but I'm going to still take another step forward because there is no condemnation, even though the devil tells me that I can't do it, even though my voice tells me, my past tells me, my parents tell me, everybody around me tells me, but there is now no condemnation, but I'm going to keep going forward. Oh. Tell the devil to shut up. Tell yourself to shut up. As I've already said, forget what lies behind and keep pressing towards the prize. Paul says that, Philippians chapter 3, verses 13, 14. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward. Straining. He's actually saying, I'm going to be. He's not like, hi. He's not saying that. He's saying, hey, I need to forget a lot. Because this guy Paul, I'm sure you know the story. This guy Paul, because before he had an encounter with God, he was actually killing people. He was one of them who stoned Stephen to death. Either he was a part of it, or he was watching it, or he coordinated it. He was completely in the inner circle of people who have killed him, and he was going about his job, and he was passionate about his job, about killing Christians. That's who he was doing. And that's the reason I know that's what he's saying. But one thing I do, if Paul is saying this one thing I do, and he says forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, working really hard, pushing through, because he knew how hard it is to push through what's in our past. But he's saying you got to push through, forward to what lies ahead. I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He's saying, I'm going to push through. I'm going to go through. Thank God, the fourth one, thank God that he causes all things, even our failures, to work together for good, for them that love him. Romans 8, 28, and it says, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. We're all called according to his purpose. For us who love him, we're saying, hey, all things are going to work good. All things are going to work good. And the fifth one, remember, it is God's will for you to be fruitful, and he has good works for you to walk in. The other thing is, we as Christians, because maybe we use that word of straining to move forward. And we're saying, oh my gosh, I'm straining, I'm really working hard. But the thing is, what he's saying is he's not trying to do good works to get the appeasement of God. That's not what straining is. What Paul is talking about is forgetting the past and straining forward. He's not saying when I say straining forward, trying to do good works. That's not what he's meaning. That's the reason we try to do good works. That's not what he's saying. What he's saying, I strain forward, when in other words, he's saying, I need to forget. I need to focus on moving forward, not on what's behind me. Especially as you grow older, there's much more for you to forget. That's what I realized. When I was a 20-year-old, I had a lot less to forget. And as I got a little older and a little older and a little older, there's a lot more to forget. And a lot more to forget, and I think sometimes we feel like there is a lot less to move forward. But God doesn't say that. He says, hey, this is what it is. He says, for we are, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, he says, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And also I've said it many times in my previous sermons, if you're still breathing, God isn't done with you. The only time you're done with is when you are in a box. That's the only time God is like, finally, I'm done with you. No, I'm just kidding. You're like, hey, come on up. The only time that you're done with is when you are in a box. 6 feet under or somewhere. So, I'm going to read that again. It says, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, for we are his workmanship. You are his amazing creation. The reason that he has created you amazingly, intricately, and he has woven you with all of these, but also with your scars, with your hurts, with your wounds, with all of that you've gone through, you're still very precious, because he says with all of those scars, all these scars and cuts and everything on me makes me right now. It's nobody else has got the same scars. Nobody else has gone through what I've gone through. There are times when there are, definitely. We think, oh, I know what you've gone through. I'm like, no, you don't. There are times when being nice Christians, like, oh, I know what you're going through. I'm like, no, you don't. And that's the reason I stopped saying it as a pastor. There were times when I was told to say that, but then I realized, oh my gosh, I have no idea what they're going through. And I'm trying to be nice to them and say, I can understand. I'm like, I don't. So I stopped doing it. So now I don't say anything. I just stay with them. I just sit with them. I just cry with them. I just stay with them. That's what you do. And maybe pray for them. So the thing is, we don't know what all the scars that you have make you who you are right now. And God is absolutely comfortable with you right now. And he says, hey, I got some amazing things, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. He's saying, hey, man, hey, woman, you're my child. You're mine. Whatever you've gone through, I'm with you. I'm with you. And I'm going to make sure that what you have been purposed to will be fulfilled and shall be fulfilled. The sixth thing is, turn your regret into thanksgiving. All the 6 points that I've said are a bit hard work, but you've got to make your mind up. And so I'm going to do it. Turn regrets into thanksgiving and say, hey, God, I know I messed it up so badly. And because of that mess, there are a lot of people who've been hurt around me. And because of what I've done, I don't know the carnage that has happened. But at the same time, God, I'm just thanking you, for you're still with me. Not saying about thankful about what has happened, but I'm saying thankful that you are here with me, God. And if I'm still alive, and if you're still my God, I know that you've got some amazing plans and purposes. It says, give thanks in all circumstances. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Let's give thanks. First, tell the devil to shut up. Yeah? If people in your house are hearing you say, shut up! It's okay. Because either you're telling the devil or yourself. Don't tell someone else. It's not at someone, but it's at the devil or it's at yourself. It's like, shut up, shut up, shut up. Shut up, devil and yourself. Forget what's behind you. Leave what's behind you and keep moving forward, because you cannot move forward looking back. Thank God that he causes all things, even our failures, to work together for good. Remember, it's God's will for you to be fruitful. He's planned good things for you. Turn regrets into thanksgiving. So if you do this, this will be amazing. So this morning, the whole point of this time together is to say, let us be people who actually look forward. Let us not look back, but let us look forward. There's a famous guy called So this morning, might be a little hard for some of us, but I think we'll do it. Let us close. As we close by, let's take a trip together. Right, if you close your eyes and you're thinking about your funeral, that's a bit strange. It doesn't sound fun at all. It is like, oh my gosh, what is it talking about? Why is it talking about my funeral? Why should I think about my funeral? It's a long way to go. Yes, there is a long way to go, but just for you to help you move on with God. You're in the church, and everybody's arrived. You snuck into at the back, and you're wondering what the service is going to look like, and you're also wondering who's going to speak. Oh, there's going to be so-and-so going to speak from the family. Oh, my oldest or the youngest. Or someone from my work is going to talk. Someone from my church is going to talk. Someone from my community is going to talk. What are they going to talk? What are they going to say about me? What are they going to say about you? But now instead of that, what are they going to say? But let us now think and say, what do I want them to say about me when that day comes? What would I want them to say about me? Maybe say he was a hard worker. Or say she always had a smile. You could depend on him for everything. He never let me down. I've never met a more honest man. But also maybe saying, hey, he was the most faithful man with full faith in God. Even through some difficult times with life not being the right. But even in the middle of all of that, he had complete faith in God. This actually is by Stephen Covey, author of The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, says that thinking through these questions, deciding what you would want people to say, can help you determine your purpose in life, or to say, hey, I'm going to move forward. There are some things that I need to tweak right now in my life. Maybe I don't spend too much time with my family. Maybe that's what I do. Maybe I am not fully focused on God. Maybe that's what I need to do. Maybe these are questions that we ask ourselves. Maybe you should not think about what they're going to say right now, but actually saying, moving forward, thinking forward and saying, hey, I need to see this being said about me. So this morning, as we finish off, can you just think for a few moments, what are the things that you need to let go right now? Maybe there are physical things that you need to let go right now. Maybe there are people in your life that you need to let go. Maybe there are words that have been said over your life that you need to let go. Maybe somebody said you are good for nothing. Maybe somebody said you won't amount to anything. Maybe somebody said you will never. You know what those words are that are taking a root in your life. But this morning, let the Holy Spirit, God, work in your life right now. And say, God, speak to me. Help me, God. Every one of us, I'm not saying just there are only a few people. It's every one of us. We need to let go of something right now. You know what it is, and I want you to let go of it, and I want you to get a hold of what God says about you. What God says about you are that you're chosen, that you're His, that you're called by His name, and everything that you've gone through is going to turn it around for His good. For your good, not for His, for your good. There's a huge difference there. He's going to work it out for your good, for your good, for your good, for your good, for your good. these are some hard topics, but the reason that God wants us to deal with these is because He wants us to live in the fullness of what He has got. Not to live in the lies of the devil, but to live in the fullness of God. Holy Spirit, God, we welcome You here, God. Welcome, 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 Holy Spirit, God. Hallelujah, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hey, the presence of God is here strong. And if you're being touched by God, because God wants to set you free. And I was, when Ra brought that word, I'm like, oh my God, God, You're onto something this morning. Because He had no idea what I was going to share. Nobody knew what God put on my heart. But when she said, we carry scars and pains and hurts, but God is here. He is here. Right now, right here. Just take a few more moments and just commit your life to God on your own and say, Jesus, Jesus, I need You in my life. You might have been a Christian for a long time, but still say, Jesus, I need You. I need You in my life as never before. I need You in my life, oh God. Come through. Come. Hallelujah, Jesus. Touch our hearts right now, God. Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning, O God, for giving us this opportunity, God. We thank You for Your Son, Jesus, for dying on the cross, O God. We thank You for the Holy Spirit, God, O God, whom You have given us, O God, who resides in us, who dwells in us, O God, to have fullness of life, to have life, life more abundantly, O Lord. Not living off the scraps, O God, but living as the children of the King of Kings, O God. And the God who created, O God. We take that this morning, O God, and we just take You into our situations, into our life, O God. The needs that are here with us right now, O God. The needs that are here right now, O God. We take them. We place our situation into Your Lord. We welcome You into the darkest corners of our lives, O God. We take You into those places, O God, where when You walk in, O God, light's going to shine, O God, and the darkness is going to go, O God. Thank You for it. Thank You for it. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank You this morning, O God, and we take authority over the lies of the devil this morning, and I come against it in Jesus' name, O God. I rebuke it in Jesus' name, and I pray, Lord, we tell the devil to shut up. But also we tell our own voices to shut up, oh God, and we move forward. We move forward, we move forward, we move forward, we move forward, oh God. We move forward, oh God, because Your word says so, oh God. Not based on our own desire, oh God, but based on what Your word says, oh God. That You have plans, plans to prosper us, plans for us to be a blessing, oh God. We just want to thank You. We give You all the glory and honor, and we thank You. And we all said, amen, amen, amen. Let's give the Lord a big hand.